God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So do you trust politicians? Have you been watching news recently? Good night, politicians. Do you trust them? You know, it doesn't matter what party you're talking about. Politicians have generally a very bad name because we see them as self-serving. Regardless of what they say, regardless of what good or bad they may do, at the end of the day, we suspect that many a politician is in it for him or herself. Now, I'd have to hasten to add that spiritual leaders are under the same cloud right now because so many times, leaders that we have, whether they're political or even, unfortunately, religious, if you can use that term, leaders sometimes tend to be in it for themselves. Now, you can have a good statesman, and obviously, I thank God for a godly pastor in my hometown. But, you know, there is something to this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we find out about the dissolution of the United Kingdom. Not Great Britain, but the United Kingdom of Israel, a kingdom that was united under David, under Solomon, and now was divided. It was a kingdom that was in civil war. One half went with Rehoboam, Solomon's son. One half of God's people went with a man named Jeroboam. And so there was a division. In 2 Chronicles chapter 11, the Bible speaks of Rehoboam gaining steam again, as his father had before him, in ruling his half of Israel in Jerusalem. And it talks about all that he built, beginning in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 6, and so on. And then the Bible says he took a wife, he had a lot of children, which is often nearly formulaic. It's almost a formula in the Bible. A king comes into power, he gains many wives, he has many children, and that was part of the power that they seem to have had. Verse 23 is what caught my attention this morning, because recently I said that Rehoboam, King Solomon's son, was a foolish son and a foolish king, and indeed I think he was. And yet, verse 23 says this about Rehoboam, and he dealt wisely and dispersed all his children throughout all the countries of Judah and Benjamin unto every fenced city, and he gave them victuals in abundance, and he desired many wives. So the Bible says he actually dealt wisely. Well, he did. So after a manner, he did. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about his gaining power. Now, politicians do that today. Does that make them the kind of wise that you would admire? Not necessarily. He sent his children throughout all all the areas of his kingdom. That would be Judah and Benjamin. He put them in known cities, fenced cities. He gave them a budget. You know, he gave them victuals in abundance. They had plenty to eat. And he desired many wives. Now, the Bible just previously has told us that he had a lot of wives. That is, King Rehoboam had a lot of wives. And he had a lot of children. He took 18 wives and 80 concubines. So the guy was not lacking for wives. But in the last verse, that is in verse 23, he desired many wives. It's talking about wives that he gave to his sons. So this was a political move. Just like kings married and had a large harem because their father-in-law, who was another king, would not be inclined to attack a son-in-law. So you made treaties among kingdoms that way. So within the kingdom, Rehoboam sent his sons to these various established cities, had them marry women from inside the city, and therefore had a connection from that city to the royal family. It was a way of gaining power. And to be sure, that was savvy. That was wise in that sense. It was a way of gaining power. You know, the king that was his rival, the king in the other half of Israel, we won't go into detail, but he likewise was very savvy. He did things that politically were very smart, but before God were very wicked. So he was wise in that he knew how to get what he wanted. But he was not wise if you're talking about following God and leading well. He was gaming the system. You know, so many times when we're in leadership, we know how to make things work for us. And we do that. But we can learn something from this foolish man, Rehoboam. And that is, we lead best when we remember that we serve God. Twice in chapters 10 and 11, the Bible reminds us that God was sovereign. God was in control. The reason there was a divided kingdom, the reason Rehoboam was on his way out, is because God was in control and God had warned that this would happen. And so Rehoboam wasn't in control. He was scheming and conniving and forcing his way, as was his rival king on the other side of the kingdom. But both of them forgot that God, Jehovah, was the one in control. So was he governing wisely? Not in the sense that he was following God, but only in the sense that he was gaming the system and making things work for him. Can I just tell you something? You're not leading others when you are serving yourself. We lead best when we remember that we serve God, and we serve best when we remember that we serve God. So wherever you are today, whether you're a king or a queen or, you know, a prince or princess, or some courtier or maybe some common person in our parlance today, remember that all of us will serve no better than recognizing that we're not sovereign, that we're in a chain of command, and that as we obey God, we serve others and do so better than we could do on our own.